ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभाम व्यास शंकर मध्यम ओम शांति शांति शांति
मुंडकोपनिषद् As I said, in the first Mundakam, the first part of the Mundakam is first Mundakam. There we are seeing the second section where mostly the topic of karma was taken for discussion. We understood about Agnihotradi karmas. And towards the end we are seeing the limitations of karma. Karma, limitations of karma phalam, limitations of upasana phalam, limitations of karma upasana phalam, limitations of even not only religious rituals but even other social service activities. So generally Upanishad beautifully one by one presented the limitations of all forms of karma, their results. And towards the end we saw, let us say 12th verse, move on to 13th verse. Parikshalokan karmachitan, parikshalokan karmachitan, brahmanaha nirvedamayat, brahmanaha nirvedamayat, nastyakrutah kritena, nastyakrutah kritena, tadvijnanartham, tadvijnanartham, सगुरुमेवाभिगच्छेत् वाभिगच्छेत् समित्पाणिः श्रोत्रियं ब्रह्मनिष्ठम् श्रोत्रियं ब्रह्मनिष्ठम्. सो हियर रिमेंबर दिस सेंटेंस, वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट सेंटेंस. नास्ति अकृतः कृतेन, कृतेन अकृतः नास्ति. Akritaha, I told you, mokshaha. Why moksha is akritaha? Because mokshaha is the swarupam of the reality. Mokshaha, happiness implied by the term mokshaha, freedom, is actually swarupam, essential nature of the reality. It's a synonym of the word of fullness. In fact, expression of fullness is happiness. Therefore, the happiness happens to be the nature of reality. Reality happens to be available for recognition as the swarupam of I, truth of I. Happiness is available for recognition only as swarupam of the I. So happiness cannot be attained, happiness has to be discovered. Therefore, this mokshaha or happiness is said to be akritaha. Akritaha means not done, not attainable as a result of an action, but it is already there, it has to be discovered. The discovery of what is already there is in fact moksha, it's not an action. Therefore, moksha is meant by the word akritaha. What is implied by the word akritaha is moksha. Akritaha nasti kritena. And kritam stands for karma. Karmana mokshaha na siddhyati. That's the meaning, which I already told you last class. So moksha cannot be attained as a result of an action. Moksha is something to be discovered. That fact is very clear. Therefore, the person who understands this fact, that moksha has to be understood, it cannot be attained, that person, and how does he understand this fact? Of course, he listens to the Shastram, and also he himself becomes dispassionate. He discovers dispassionate. Nirvedam ayati. He comes to discover dispassion. And this dispassion, discovery of dispassion is implies his maturity. Therefore, he is a Brahmanaha. And how does he discover this dispassion? By understanding the limitations of everything in the world. to understand the limitations of everything here in the world, he must have lived his life properly, and as a result of which he is intelligent enough to analyze all his life's experiences and arrive at the fact how nothing in the world can give us moksha. So that's why karma chitan lokan pariksha. This person, the individual, mature individual, intelligent person who is able to learn from his own life's experiences, comes to discover dispassion. Nirvedam ayat. And what is his discovery? Therefore, akritaha nasti kritena. Moksha cannot be accomplished as a result of an action. And moksha is something to be understood, discovered. Discovery of moksha is discovery of the truth. Discovery of truth is discovery of Bhagavan. Discovery of Bhagavan is discovery of one's own sorupam, one's own self. So self-knowledge is knowledge of the Lord. Self-knowledge is knowledge of the Lord. Knowledge of the Lord is knowledge of the reality. Knowledge of reality is knowledge of actually what happiness is, what moksha is. Therefore, for what is needed for moksha is knowledge, not an action. Therefore, tadvijnanartham. Therefore, for the attainment of such knowledge of the truth, obtaining as one's own self, that intelligent person, gurumeva abhigachet, he should approach the teacher who is capable of removing the darkness of ignorance, and he, in expressing his wish of his seriousness in knowing the truth, this person approaches the teacher, samitpanihi, having the twigs required for performing a ritual, a fuel. And he approaches a teacher, not somebody who preaches, not somebody who claims himself a teacher, not somebody who is capable of performing miracles, not somebody who is capable of giving something, but the person who is capable of giving the vision. The teacher is the one who is capable of giving the vision. Giving the vision means making the person see what one sees. Instead of simply mechanically making the person emotionally enslaving, making the person believe what one sees, what one says, making the person see what he sees. And such a person is a teacher. And for a person to be able to give the vision, he must have the vision. A blind person cannot lead another blind. A person of vision can lead another blind person. So here, as a person of vision, for a person to be a person of vision, definitely he must have profound knowledge of Shastra, scriptures. So he is a Shotriya. For somebody to be a person of profound knowledge, he must have tremendously heard from his acharyas, especially sampradaya with his teachers. Must have heard a lot. So he is a Shotriya, the person of profound knowledge who has heard properly, carefully, the unfoldment of the scriptures. And such a person, Brahmanishtaha, he is also Brahmanishtaha, means he is, because of his Shrotriyatvam, he is also well established in his vision of the truth. He is steadfast in his vision of the truth, he is Brahmanishtaha. He sees the truth, therefore he is able to make a student see the truth. Such a person is Brahmanishtaha. So he approached a teacher. This we saw last class. So Upanishad, in this Mundaka Upanishad, it is made very clear the self-knowledge should not be pursued independently. Self-enquiry should not be done independently. Self-enquiry is for the knowledge of the self, which is a knowledge of the truth, and which one must do only with the help of the Shastram as a Pramanam, unfolded by a Sampradaya with the teacher. That is made very clear. Now we are going to the last concluding mantra of this. தஸ்மை சவித்வான் உபசன்னாய சம்யக் தஸ்மை சவித்வான் உபசன்னாய சம்யக் பிரசாந்த சித்தாய சமான்விதாய. ஓகே, லெட் மீ ரீட் இட். தஸ்மை சவித்வான் உபசன்னாய சம்யக் பிரசாந்த சித்தாய சமான்விதாய ஏனாக்ஷரம் புருஷம் வேத சத்யம் ப்ரோவாச தாம் தத்வதோ ப்ரஹ்ம வித்யாம் தஸ்மை சவித்வான் உபசன்னாய சம்யக் பிரசாந்த சித்தாய சமான்விதாய ஏனாக்ஷரம் புருஷம் வேத சத்யம் ப்ரோவாச தாம் தத்வதோ ப்ரஹ்ம வித்யாம் ப்ரோவாச தாம் தத்வதோ ப்ரஹ்ம வித்யாம் தஸ்மை சவித்வானுபசன்னாய சம்யக் பிரசாந்த சித்தாய சமான்விதாய ஏனாக்ஷரம் புருஷம் வேத சத்யம் ப்ரோவாச தாம் தத்வதோ ப்ரஹ்ம வித்யாம். சோ வாட் இஸ் அகெய்ன் ப்ராமிஸ்ட் பை தி உபனிஷத்? If there is a genuine seeker, would commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, knowing the value of the knowledge, approaches a teacher, and the teacher also is definitely a Shotriya and Vamanishtaha, no teacher will definitely ignore the student. It's also made very clear. So this Shaunakaha, the student should approach a teacher, and teacher should teach. So here, Saha Vidwan Provacha. So Vidwan, actually Vid itself means knowledge. Vidvat means one who has knowledge. Vidwan is nominative. One who has knowledge means a man of profound knowledge, a wise person, a jnani, who has a clear vision of the truth. And also literally it means learned person. So jnani here is meant by the word vidwan. Vidwan, provacha, tam brahma vidyam provacha. The teacher taught him, gave him the knowledge of the truth, taught him the knowledge of the truth. Tattva, Brahma Vidyam, knowledge of the truth. Provacha, he taught, he gave him, he said to him, he spoke to him. And how does he teach? Tattvataha, he taught him. And by teaching the Brahma Vidya, what happens? By giving him knowledge of the truth, this person understands, by which one understands Aksharam Purusham Satyam. If the knowledge of Brahma Vidya is given, and then the teaching of knowledge of Brahma Vidya naturally should help the student discover what? Purushaha, the student Veda knows, Aksharam Purusham Satyam. The three words are there. So teaching of Brahma Vidya results in or helps a student know, discover the satyam, the absolute truth, ultimate truth, absolute reality, and which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, which is purusham, and also which is imperishable. So the imperishable, all pervasive reality, the student comes to know, he discovers by what? Discovers by the knowledge of Brahman, which was taught by the teacher. And here, the teacher taught the student, it's okay, but who was this student? And the student's qualification also is given. Teacher's qualification was mentioned, now student's qualification also is mentioned here. What he said? Upasannaha. He approached, how? We also saw earlier, Vidhivat Upasannaha. But now it is said, Prashanta Chittaya Shamanvitaya. It is also explained already. See, the discipline of Shamaha, the mastery over one's own mind, one's ways of thinking, is very important. Actually, it is all about managing, taking care of one's emotions in the form of thoughts. Shamaha is actually mental discipline. So, Shama Anvitaha means one who is endowed with this discipline of Shamaha. Which means this person has relatively mentally pure. Shamanvitaha means relatively adequately pure-minded. Adequately pure-minded, Shuddha Antahkaranaha. Adequately pure-minded, how does he become adequately pure-minded? He is able to manage his emotions. Therefore, there may be the anger, fear, anxiety, or dislikes and dislikes, all these emotions really do not disturb him. They may be there, but still they are well managed. They are managed because he is not a slave of those emotions, and he is able to manage those emotions because of his commitment to Dharma. Because he is always consciously seeing the values always. Having values in his mind, all his actions are governed by his knowledge of values, where he is able to manage his emotions, therefore he is relatively pure-minded. Okay, Shamanvitaha. Shamanvitaha. And also Prashantachittaha. Because of his vairagya, very important. See, Prashantachittaha means Prashantam Chittam Yasya. Prashantam Chittam Yasya. Prashantam or Shantam is a participle. Tranquilled, quietened, calmed is a Prashanta. So, tranquilled mind. The person who has tranquilled mind is tranquil-minded, is Prashanta Chittaha. Prashantam Chittam Yasya sa Prashanta Chittaha. The one who has quite calm, tranquil mind. Tranquil-minded means undisturbed-minded. Undisturbed-minded means distraction-free-minded. Distraction-free-minded means steady-minded. Steady-minded means he is able to focus. Okay? That's why nischala antahkarnavan purushaha. So, the shamaha helps him to have mastery over his samaha is a discipline of having mastery over one's thoughts means the person is relatively mentally pure. All these emotions are well managed. So relatively he is pure minded. Not absolutely pure minded. Relatively he is pure minded. Shamanvitaha. Whereas he is also prashanta chittaha. Not only he is relatively pure-minded, he is able to focus also. Which means he is also calm-minded, tranquil-minded. This tranquility comes because of his vairagyam. You know, once vairagyam is there, dispassion is there. So, he has grown out of interest, naturally grown out of desires for other things in the world. Arthakama dharmas also. This naturally growing out of desire for Arthakama dharmas itself is possible because he knows the limitation. As long as we do not understand the limitations of Arthakama Dharmas, still that lingering desire will be there for all Arthakama Dharmas. So, pursuing Arthakama Dharmas is not wrong, but giving them more value, being dependent upon them for happiness and security, thinking that possession of Arthakamas in life is everything. That thinking is actually wrong, but pursuing Arthakamas is not wrong. In fact, pursuing Arthakamas is very, very important. So this person, the one who knows the limitations of Arthakamas, thereby has grown out of desire for them, naturally he is dispassionate towards them. Because of his dispassion towards them, he is not that disturbed. Okay? He is able to be focused. Vairagyam always helps a person to remain, you know, tranquil. The word prashanta chittaha, tranquil minded. And also, because of his commitment to dharma, living a life of values, he is also shamanvitaha. Which means, as living his life as a proper householder grihastaha, doing all his obligatory duties, doing his other duties, and also involving himself in other duties, being aware of society's needs also, this person must have lived a life of karma yoga, worshipfully, prayerfully, that it has contributed for his appropriate qualification, that he is mentally relatively pure, he is also mentally steady. Shamanvitaha prashanta chittaha. To such a student alone, here the teacher taught Brahma Vidya. Uvacha literally means had said. We take it as teacher taught Brahma Vidya. Teacher taught knowledge of Brahman, which means by which this student discovers the absolute reality, which is of the nature of imperishability and which is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Aksharam Purusham Satyam Yena Veda. By which he understands. And that teaching he gave. So here with this, Iti Atharva Vediya Mundaka Upanishadi Prathamaha Prathamam Mundakam Dvitiyam Mundakam Prathamundake Dvitiyaha Khandaha Samaptaha. Prathama Mundake Dvitiyaha Khandaha Samaptaha. In the first part of Mundakam, known as Prathama Mundakam, Dvitiyaha Khandaha, second section consisting of 13 mantras, is also over. Okay. Now we have to enter into the Dvitiyam Mundakam, the second Mundaka, because second part of Mundaka Upanishad. And in this second part, you will all enjoy it, because, well, you don't have second book. I haven't bought second book, all of you. Okay. In the second Mundakam, the first book is over. Now you have to start reading from page 1 to the last page and understand everything thoroughly. If you have any doubts in the book, please come back and ask me. Okay? Actual Brahma Vidya is elaborately, intensely discussed in the second part. The actual teaching which we all have been waiting to listen to, that actually comes where? In this second Mundakam. Dvitiyam Mundakam. That's why Dvitiyam Mundakam is really more important also. Everything is important. Dvitiyam Mundakam is more important because this is where the actual Upanishadic teaching, you know, the intense teaching is given here. unfoldment of Brahman. The knowledge of Brahman, the Brahma Vidya is actually discussed in the second Mundakam. And here the teacher begins his teaching. Tadetat satyam, tadetat satyam. Okay, let us pay our salutations to Rishi Angiras. Om namo bhagavate, om namo bhagavate, Angiras rupaya,
Angiras rupaya,
Rishaye,
Rishaye,
Angirase,
Angirase,
Paramatmane,
Paramatmane,
Parabrahmane,
Parabrahmane.
So we offer our salutations to Rishi Angiras. We see Bhagavan himself in the form of Angiras teaching this. Okay. Tadetat satyam, tadetat satyam, yatha sudiptat,
yatha sudiptat,
pavakad,
pavakad,
vispulingah,
vispulingah,
yatha sudiptat,
yatha sudiptat,
pavakad,
vispulingaha,
sahasrashaha, prabhavante, sarupaha, sahasrashah prabhavante, sarupaha, sahasrashah prabhavante, sarupaha, sahasrashah prabhavante, sahasrashah prabhavante, yatha sudiptat,
yatha sudiptat,
pavakad,
pavakad,
vispulingaha,
vispulingaha,
sahasrashah prabhavante,
sahasrashah prabhavante,
sarupaha,
sarupaha,
yathaksharad,
yathaksharad,
vividha somyabhavaha,
vividha somyabhavaha,
yathaksharad,
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 vividha somya,
vividha somya,
bhavah,
bhavah,
vividha somya bhavah,
vividha somya bhavah,
prajayante tatra,
prajayante tatra,
chaivapiyanti,
chaivapiyanti,
prajayante tatra chaivapiyanti,
prajayante
tatra chaivapiyanti, yatha sudiptat,
yatha sudiptat,
pavakad vispulingaha,
pavakad vispulingaha,
yatha sudiptat pavakad vispulingaha,
yatha sudiptat
pavakad vispulingaha. If you are following the book, you'll be able to recite. Yatha sudiptat pavakad vispulingaha,
yatha sudiptat pavakad vispulingaha,
sahasrashah prabhavante sarupaha,
sahasrashah prabhavante sarupaha,
tathaksharad,
tathaksharad,
vividha somyabhavaha,
vividha
somyabhavaha, tathaksharad,
tathaksharad,
vividha somyabhavaha,
vividha somyabhavaha,
prajayante,
prajayante,
tatra chaivapiyanti,
tatra chaivapiyanti.
Okay. Now, tad, let me break the mantra now. Now you know how to understand the teaching. Pada vibhagaha, then pada anvayaha, then pada artaha, then tatparyam. You have to understand this. Methodology you know now. Tad yetat satyam. Tad yetat satyam. That is it. Tad yetat satyam. Tad is the third person plural, third person pronoun, singular pronoun, which means that. Yetad also singular third person pronoun, which means this. So tad means that, yetad means this. Upanishad always uses like that. Tad yetad. What does it mean? This is the truth. Tad yetad satyam, he says, this is the truth. This is the truth. And then he calls the student. How does he call? Look at this. He somya. This is the truth. I'm going to the word somya. Somya or saumya both mean the same. Somya or saumya mean the same. Which means, O beloved one, O pleased one. He said, the teacher always uses a beautiful expression of endearment when he addresses the student. Okay, Saumya, 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 feminine, masculine, Saumya. Hey, O Saumya, O Saumya means, O pleasing one. Okay, that's the meaning. Saumya, having addressed him, now he tells. What is this truth? What is the truth that he wants to tell the student? Is yatha, that is a literal meaning first. Yatha, sudeeptat pavakat vistulingaha sahasrashah prabhavante sarupaha tatha aksharat. You break it. Tatha aksharat. See, when you break it, it becomes aksharat. Takara changes. You say pavakad becomes pavakat. Do you notice that? Sasa Sandhi rules. Similarly, aksharad becomes aksharat. Vividaha somya bhavaha prajayante tatra cha eva apiyanti. Tatra cha eva apiyanti. So here, he says, prajayante is the verb. Prajayante, they originate. They are born. So what are born? What do originate? He says, vispulingaha. Vispulingaha prajayante. Spulingaha itself means spark. Vispulingaha also means spark only. Spulingaha, vispulingaha means the same. Singular. Vispulingaha. It's a masculine noun. Therefore, vispulingaha means what? Sparks. Sparks are born. Sparks originate. So, sparks originate from what? From what? Pavakat. From where do these sparks are born? Where do the sparks originate from? Where are these sparks born? From where are the sparks born? Pavakat. See, pavakaha is akarantaha pullingaha pavaka shabdaha. Pavakaha. It means fire. You have learned so many words. Agnihi you have learned. Jata Vedas you have learned. Havyavahanaha you have learned. Havir book you have learned. Now another word is what now? No? Pavakaha. Why Agnihi is called Pavakaha? I'm going out of the track. Okay. Punati iti Pavakaha. Punati means purifies. Fire has the capacity to purify. By burning everything, by reducing everything into ashes, it can kill all germs, everything. Therefore, fire is called Pavakaha. No, it is Pavanaha. Air is called Pavanaha. Fire is called Pavakaha. Okay? Therefore, why fire is called Pavakaha? That is not important here. Okay? I am just giving it extra. We don't need to analyze why fire is called Pavakaha. It's not part of our lesson. But still, we need to know only Pavakaha. Okay, Pavakaha, Pavakam, Pavakena, Pavakaya, Pavakat. I'm sure you all remember the fifth case, ablative case. So, Pavakat Vispulingaha Prajayante. Now I can ask the question, Vispulingaha Kutaha Prajayante, otherwise Kasmat Prajayante, Vispulingaha Pavakat Prajayante. So, sparks originate from fire, sparks are born from fire, born of fire. And Kidrushant Pavakat, which sort of fire? Not the smoky fire. From smoky fire, fire itself will not be there. How can there be sparks? Your sparks have to really making noise, sparks have to come out means the fire must be well kindled fire. So Sudeeptat, blazing. Deepta means well, no, well burning. Sudeepta. So from well kindled, blazing fire, Sudeeptat Pavakat Vispulingaha Prajayante. Simple. Now, what he says, Sarupaha, all these many sparks which are born of this well kindled blazing fire, all of them are of the same nature. Sarupaha. Every spark is the same like every other spark. Which means all of them are hot, all of them are shining, all of them are shining and blazing also, shining also. Therefore, Sarupaha. And then how many? He says, not only Prajayante, Prabhavante, actually the word is Prabhavante. Prabhavante comes. Prabhavante, Prajayante mean the same. Prabhavante, Prajayante mean the same. Prabhavati means comes into existence. Prabhavante. So, Sudeeptat, Pavakat, Vispulingaha Prabhavante. Take the word Prabhavante instead of Prajayante. So, from this well-kindled blazing fire, sparks come, sparks originate, come into existence. But how many? Sahasrashaha, in thousands. Thousands of sparks. Imagine, huge conflagration of fire, and that this thousands of sparks originate from that fire. And all of them are either many in number, sahasrashaha, upalakshanam. So innumerable, countless sparks originate from the huge conflagration of fire. But no, all of them are of the same nature. Because sarupaha, all of them are hot, all of them are shining. Which means, every spark is like an effect, every spark is an effect, and the fire is the cause. Karanasya gunaha karye anuvartate. Because the fire is hot and brilliant, so every spark also is hot and brilliant. And even though, how many sparks are sahasrashaha? Sahasram, thousand. In thousands is upalakshanam to mean innumerable, countless sparks originate from this huge conflagration of fire. Therefore, all the sparks, now how many are, innumerable countless sparks are there, and all of them are actually fire. All the sparks are fire. All the sparks have the nature of the fire. Even though sparks are many and sparks are countable, we can count the sparks. They have countability, they have plurality, there's a many, but still all the sparks are essentially one fire. Essentially one fire. So fire is not the sparks, but definitely all the sparks are nothing but fire. Fire is not the sparks. Sparks come, sparks remain, sparks go away. Fire is not the sparks, but all the sparks are essentially fire only. They are non-different from fire. And these sparks, which are countable, really speaking, do they have independent existence? They do not have independent existence because they originate from the fire. And after having come into existence, what happened to these sparks? So he says, next line he says, these sparks again resolve in the same fire. All these sparks, innumerable countless sparks which originate from fire, they all again resolve in fire. When they resolve, they disappear. They come into fire, from fire, but they have the nature of the fire, attributes of the fire, again they resolve in fire. But, okay, in the same way, just as there is a karanakarya sambandha between fire and the sparks, here, next thing he compares now. And to compare, he uses this indeclinable words, yatha, tatha. So, yatha means just as, and tatha means so. Now, it becomes two different sentences become one sentence. Yatha, see, if you say, sudiptatu, pavakatu, sahasrashaha, vispulingaha, sarupaha, vispulingaha, prabhavante. Simple sentence. Now, what happens? Yatha, just as, sudiptatu, pavakatu, vispulingaha, sarupaha, sahasrashaha, prabhavante. Okay? Tatha. Okay? Just as from a blazing, well-kindled fire, thousands of sparks, innumerable sparks of the same heat, of same shining, same light, of same nature, come into existence. Similarly, tatha, tatha, similarly, in the same way. Now, we have to see next. What next sentence? Aksharat, tatha aksharat. Aksharam, aksharam is what here? This absolute reality, which is the imperishable reality implied by the term Brahma. Aksharat, from Brahma, from imperishable reality, vividhaha bhavaha prajayante. Prabhavante prajayante. I already said mean the same. Vividhaha bhavaha. Varied beings. Varieties of, not one variety of beings. Varieties of beings. Vividha means variety. Vividhaha bhavaha. Varieties of beings. Living beings, non-living things, mobile beings, immobile beings, time, space, and all the objects with forms, without forms, perceptible through sense organs, and also imperceptible through sense organs, all these varieties of beings, prajayante, originate, are born. And not only they are born, just as these fire, these sparks originate from fire, and then again fire, they resolve, they return to fire. Similarly, all these beings also, which originate from Brahma, imperishable Brahma, again, where do they go back? Tatra eva cha apiyanti cha, and tatra eva, there itself, apiyanti. They go back there itself. Tatra eva apiyanti. Yanti go. Okay, apiyanti also return. They return there itself. Tatha, similarly, aksharat vividaha bhavaha prajayante tatra eva apiyanti. Then it go back there itself. And as I said already, Soumya is a word which teacher addresses the student as Soumya. So similarly, the varieties of beings are born of, are born from Aksharam Brahma, come into existence from Brahma, then again they return to Brahman, which means they resolve back into that absolute reality only. So here is a literal meaning we have understood. This is the literal meaning. Example is given. How, which means this entire world of beings. When you say vividaha bhavaha, means this entire world of beings consisting of innumerable forms, names and functions, are varieties of beings, all of them, innumerable countless forms, names and functions, all of them originate from one truth. Like what? Just as innumerable thousands of sparks originate from one huge conflagration of the well-kindled fire, blazing fire. And all of them are of same nature. Similarly, all these beings, forms are innumerable, names are innumerable and countless. Functions are of course different. The function, the purpose of every form differs from the purpose of other form. The functions also are different. Even though functions are different, names are different, forms are different, all of them are essentially one nature. All are one, even though all are not the same, all are not equal, all are one. All are one, essentially one. All of them are of the nature of reality. So reality is pure knowledge, means every form here is knowledge. How can you understand everything is knowledge here? That we'll see next class. Okay, I need more time for that. At least let us understand this much. So all of them are essentially one and the only truth. Now second stream, I tell you. So that imperishable reality, Brahman, is not any of these beings, innumerable countless beings, not any of these varieties of beings. Just as fire is not any of the sparks, but all the sparks are essentially the fire. Similarly, Brahman is not any of these beings, but all these beings are essentially of the nature of reality, implevatum Brahma. So they come into existence from Brahma. So they again, they return, resolve back into Brahman. There is return to Brahma, which means, one more word is implied, they also enjoy their existence in between origination and resolution. They again enjoy existence also in Brahma, which means they originate from Brahma, they exist in Brahma, they resolve in Brahma, which means they do not have independent existence outside of Brahma. Now, are they created newly, or they, how they come into existence? In fact, they were already there as part of the fire. Sparks were already there as part of the fire. They were not created newly. They were unmanifest. All the sparks were unmanifest in fire. And from the fire they became manifest and they enjoy their existence in fire. Again they resolve in fire. Similarly, all these varieties of beings also are not created newly. They were already unmanifest in Brahma. They only become manifest from Brahma. They come into existence from Brahma. They enjoy their existence in Brahma. They again resolve in Brahma. Which means they do not have independent existence, means they are never away from Brahma. They're always Brahma. Every spark is fire. Similarly, every being here is Brahma. Okay? We have only seen the literal meaning of the words. The unfoldment we'll see next class. Including, in fact, whether you came here or not, genuinely, honestly, a thought of all of you, Ms. Sankalpa. Because Narakshatrudeshi is very important for us to worship Bhagavan, to seek Bhagavan's grace, to manage our thoughts, to even to have to neutralize our parabdha, bad parabdha, neutralize also, to remove all pratibandhas, obstacles in our endeavors. We need Bhagavan's grace, even though our aim is to ultimately have the vision of Advaitam. Dvaita Bhakti, you know, definitely is important for us because we need Bhagavan's grace.
Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi.